Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Which is mobile today in Ohio. The State College Spice taking on Mahoning Valley at 30-13 on the year. In fact, all three division leaders are at 30-13. And the New York Penn League. That aside, James Franklin with his press conference today taking place in Chicago. We'll have parts of that in the next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to PurdyInsurance.com. They have served the Valley for decades. They've taken care of people in the Valley for decades, making sure that their lives and their insurance needs match up. Kevin Herr alongside. It's been a big weekend.
Busy weekend at that, hasn't it been? I'll tell you what, it's been busy for you. Lots of stuff going on besides just baseball.
Yeah, a lot going on. And I thought it was really smart of Penn State to pick a non-Indy weekend to name the athletic director, because we certainly wouldn't want to have that overshadowed.
Bob Buehner and I were just talking about that as a matter of fact, right before the show started. He thought it was a perfect weekend to make that introduction because all the focus was on that and not on the racetrack.
Well, and Jeff Gordon came through despite correct. No one watching in Indianapolis.
Oh, no. Oh, well, that was Sunday, though.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, there was the focus was, yeah, the Saturday was the more concern.
Nothing went on Saturday.
Let's get to Sandy Barber being named athletic director, first of all. I always find it interesting when people make comments about athletic directors, because name for me the athletic director at Missouri. Okay, we're done. but you know, Gary Pinkel's the head football coach. That's the difference. Athletic directors are the CEOs of multimillion-dollar programs. But until they're your athletic director, you really don't know who they are. All right, maybe a Dave Brandon, you'll know more about him at Michigan because in part of some of the ticket problems that they've had. Let's talk about her being introduced. I think it was important for me to get in touch with help from someone else, a person I trust in all of this that knows her, at one point worked with her, and somebody that I'm not going to reveal his name, but would be somebody most people know, okay? And from another university. And he is a straight shooter. If this guy thought that the hire was bad news, if this guy thought the hire was fraught with problems, if he thought, well, you better watch your step, he would say it straight out because he is a straight shooter. He said, this is a great hire, and he loved working with her, that she was passionate, that she believed and was loyal with the coaches, was a big supporter of the athletes all the way through, is the person that you want to have that in a crisis is the coolest customer in the room during the course of any kind of crisis or problem, and that she is somebody that's going to, you know, that she has a great sense of humor. She can be fun to work around and to work with. You know, that she's an Orioles fan, which means she's not perfect. And that, but just is somebody that, you know, to him, he thought this was a great hire by Penn State. And this guy, I'm telling you, if he didn't think it was a good hire, he'd have said right out, no, nope, not a good hire. Nope, he was the other way around. Completely support. That was enough for me to hear.
Steve, one of the contributors to this show, Corey Geiger, took a different approach in a column that was run in various newspapers on Sunday, though. He was not as much in her corner. I think I'll characterize it as a wait-and-see approach, but he did bring up some issues about her, and I was kind of surprised at that.
Well, I think it's important to talk about those issues and get them out there. Let's start with the money. The huge deficits run up by the Cal Athletic Department. If you are in the California system, the University of California state system, which Berkeley is, you are beholden to what the state does and doesn't do. And that, as opposed to Penn State, where the athletic department is completely autonomous. When Penn State goes out and say they're running a profit or they're running a deficit, it is what athletics does with that profit or deficit. It has nothing to do with money from anywhere else within the university. They don't get money from the university. They don't get money from the state. I've explained where any state money over the years has gone. They put $33 million into the Jordan Center, and they put $12 million into Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Penn State did the rest of the fundraising for it, thus they were debt-free on both projects. But at California, decisions made for the athletic department actually start at the state level financially. That's one of them. Also, I happened to go to the University of California and broadcast two basketball games at Haas Pavilion at the end of 2001, early 2002, 2 years before she took the job as the athletic director. So I had a good chance to take a look at their facilities. Haas Pavilion, which was partially funded, if not completely funded, by Walter Haas's family, the owners of the Oakland A's at the time, is a really nice basketball facility. I liked it a lot. I thought it fit perfectly. The size was right. I thought there were a lot of things about that facility going back 13 years ago that I really liked. I then took a look at the baseball facility. The baseball facility, while being centrally located and very close to Haas Pavilion and had a beautiful ambiance in terms of the view, also was run down and needed help. I then went away from all that, went down the campus, and went up the hill to the football stadium. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable how old it was, how run down it was at the time. They needed to do something with that, which eventually they did. But here's the biggest problem with the football stadium. The football stadium, as is the entire Cal Berkeley campus, lies squarely on top of the Hayward Fault. Well, because it lies squarely on top of the Hayward Fault, that means that when you do any construction on it or any rebuilding of the stadium, guess what? It has to meet certain regulations for seismology reasons. That's the reason. So of course, what does that mean? That means you have to spend exponentially more than anybody else would for a simple renovation, because you have to make the building, quote, as earthquake proof as possible. So that was one of the issues. State related, hands tied. How much money you had to pay for the stadium because, again, state regulations, as the fact it sits on the Hayward Fault. That's one of them. The other one that's going to be brought up is the academic part. And the academic part, the 44% graduation rate, football, 38% basketball rate for Cal, is certainly troubling. There's no question about that. But coaches have to take responsibility for that. And guess what? The student athlete has to take responsibility for that. Every time that we sit here and we praise Penn State's graduation rate at 90%, 92%, 85%, whatever it happens to be, we aren't sitting there and saying, what a great job James Franklin did. What a great job Dave Joyner and Tim Curley did. What a great job that Patrick Chambers did. We always praise the athletes. We never bring up the other names. Never. Because they're the ones that got it done. Well, at Cal, guess what? Guess who didn't get it done? They didn't get it done. She inherits a system at Penn State that already strongly believes in high academic and graduation rates, that has a strong APR across the board. She inherits that. She's not going to tear that down, because she was very strong in her statement on Saturday about putting athletes first. If anybody knows the value of what athletics brings and what an education brings, it is her, because obviously her athletic experience is something that has taught her teamwork, loyalty, family, and so forth, dedication. At the same time, she also knows by getting her degree what her degree has meant to her and what it's meant in her lifetime. So she believes in all of that. And you already have a strong infrastructure in place at Penn State when it comes to the academic side for student athletes. So she inherits that, and you can expect that to continue to be in great shape. As for the financial side, we know Penn State's run a deficit the last couple of years. There's, of course, a big reason for that, and that would be fines and no bowl money. Well, the fine eventually will be paid out and finished. The bowl money will return because they've lost $7 million the last 2 years. And the new television contract is going to be in place for the Big Ten that will probably pay anywhere from $15 to $20 million per year more than what they were getting before. So fiscally, Penn State should be in very, very good shape as she goes through her tenure. When you talk to somebody else who's independent of all this that knows her, you walk out of there saying, you know what, if that's how he feels, and you have such respect for someone like I have respect for this guy, I can tell you right now, that's good enough for me.
Kevin just mentioned to me that he actually met Haywood Fault and actually has his autograph.
Yes.
I'm not surprised.
Exactly. Well, I think it's going to be a wait-and-see attitude for a lot of Penn State fans because it seems, Steve, that the negative stories came out rather fast, right after the hiring was announced, which surprised me. I have to say that really surprised me that it didn't wait. So is it?
Well, that's why I wanted to. I wanted to find out from somebody who worked with her.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not sit there and say, "Hey, I'm going to read Glenn Dickey's article. How did he really?"
And I believe we lost Steve's connection there out to Ohio,
Youngstown, Ohio. He's out in the Mahoning Valley area tonight to do a State College Spikes game against the
out in Penguin Land.
Yes. Not very far away from Western Pennsylvania. A lot of
athletes. She's very supportive of athletes, loyal to her. I mean, those are all things that he brought up. Okay,
right.
I'm going to put that ahead of an article that doesn't understand that the California system is not a system that mirrors Penn State.
Steve, I'd like you to reiterate those points because we did lose you for a little bit while you were making your point there.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. It's great hearing from you. Sorry you can't be here the rest of the day. Great. I get to make up the rest of the show.
Excellent.
That should be entertaining.
I can't resist with you
no.
sometimes. Do you gotta do that? No. Okay, what points do you want me to reiterate?
Well, basically the entire paragraph that you were just talking about, because we picked it back up right at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, repeating once again for the hearing impaired.
or for the dropout avoidance this time.
When it comes to the fiscal responsibility, Penn State, of course, has had fines to pay, and they have not received bowl money in each of the last 2 years. That eventually turns around and changes. Also, you can expect probably 3 years from now, $15 to $20 million more coming out from television money that Penn State will be getting, like all the other Big Ten schools. So automatically, any fiscal problem is going to be solved rather quickly at Penn State. They're running deficits apart. You've lost $7 million from lack of bowl money just in the last 2 years, let alone let alone everything else that goes with it. So those three factors, fiscally, Penn State's going to be fine, and what it'll do is it'll untie her hands because the California system tied her hands up all the time. When you're beholden to what the state government's telling you budget-wise, as opposed to going someplace that has budget autonomy like Penn State does in terms of that ability, that's huge. And as for the academic part, there is nobody that understands the value of an education for a student-athlete than she does. Look where it's taken her. And you already have the infrastructure in Penn State in place that promotes a strong academic performance. She's not going to change that. And as I told you, this guy told me, look, she'll work. There's a problem, she's tireless in solving it. If there's an issue, she's the coolest head in the room. She's also fun-loving, loves to play golf, so Kevin's out.
Steve, you got a new golf partner.
And as an Orioles fan.
She might have to get an invitation to the Purdy charity golf tournament then.
I bet him out should show.
Well, she's not taking my spot.
Does she use the chudder?
That's her loss.
I want to play with somebody who doesn't cheat.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
In today's world, we have lost sight of the day when you fix what was broken.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
all but worried.
It sounds a little like you're literally in the crow's nest because I hear birds in the background every now and then.
Well, I wouldn't insult Bob that way.
No.
Bob's with me.
Yeah.
I know. You just, look, there you they just are. Said you hear birds.
Listen to them.
I can hear them. Yes, I can hear them too, Steve.
Yeah.
There are two little birdies down to my left. Hello, little birdies.
Can you give us play-by-play of the birds?
Well, there are five of them, now six of them, down below to my left. And they're all over the place here. And what a fun little group. Okay.
He truly is very versatile when it comes to play-by-play, Bob.
Yes, he can do a bird thing. He can do football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
Part of the deal with the birds here is like Sunbury. It's really rained here. I mean, it's poured here. And that's one of the reasons that they're out, because it's so wet here right now. It has stopped raining. But the tarp, for example, is just, it looks like a lake. They'll play the game tonight. In fact, I think they'll play it on time tonight. I was able to get in a round of golf this morning.
Ah.
Dodged a lot of puddles and so forth. Didn't rain until I got to 18. But it probably kept my shot in 18 from going off the green on my approach from 75 yards out. So,
I know that problem. I've had that problem many times on my approach shots.
And, Steve, you are in the beautiful Mahoning Valley, which for folks in this part of Pennsylvania to know, it's Youngstown, Ohio area.
It's right over the line from Pennsylvania, right over the line.
What, so, about 20 miles? And whereabouts is the stadium in the Mahoning Valley?
It's in Niles, so it's halfway between Warren and Youngstown.
He can see Pennsylvania from his his vantage point.
It's got to be awfully close to Interstate 80, is it not?
It is. It is. It's about maybe 6 miles from Interstate 80.
So
maybe seven. That's it. I mean, there's a mall over here and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've already gone over. Kevin gave me a list of things he wanted at Dillard's.
Yes.
Which is
sadly, I'm not going to pay you for them. They're gifts, so thank you.
Yes, well, that has been your pattern over time. I have a shirt that is
emblematic
of that.
Here we go. you know, I want to hear James Franklin.
With your... I got you a gift with your money. Wow.
James Franklin, ready to go. Let's go.
And during the entire break,
yes,
Bob, during the entire break, all I heard was how good he is because he got James Franklin in back-to-back way. I mean, that's all I got was this long soliloquy about how good he is.
I heard it too.
I mean, so Bob lets you and I sit back and appreciate Kevin's brilliance in bringing us James Franklin from Chicago.
Amen.
How's everybody doing? Really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Want to thank the Big Ten. Want to thank Commissioner Delaney. Great experience for our players. They're really, really excited. Got a chance to spend some time in Chicago, and now having this experience has been wonderful. So I want to thank everybody for that. Now, the only critique I would have is I don't know if everybody has seen the elevators. The elevators, well, there's one with a Penn State logo on it, and there's a logo for each school. Well, the Penn State logo elevator was not in line with my room, and I refused to ride any other elevator up there, so I had to end up walking up the floor. So if there's any way we can coordinate and make sure that the elevator is coordinated with the floor I'm on in the future, that'd be the only critique I'd have. But things are going great. I wanted to take a minute and just thank the Penn State community and family. It's been unbelievable. The fans, the local community, the former alumni, the former players, been unbelievable with our family and our coaches. And I wanted to take the time to thank them, the students, and obviously everybody that's been involved. You know, change has been really hard, and we've had a lot of change in the last couple years. You know, you think about this. I've been here 7 months, and I'm the vet when it comes to, you know, Penn State, when it comes to our new athletic director. I want to welcome Sandy Bedore to the conference and the Penn State. So excited about that. And then our president as well, Eric Barron. It's unbelievable, though, the fact that you think about all the change in Penn State and how much consistency we've had for so long, and the fact that I've been here 7 months and, considered the vet. Excited about what's going on at Penn State and our process and our program. You know, we had one of the strongest semesters academically that we ever had this spring. The first part of summer school, we've had one of the strongest, if not the strongest, GPA that we've ever had. And we want to finish that out the rest of the summer as well. You know, we have 9 guys this year on the roster that have already graduated and are going to be competing on the field for us. We're really, really excited about that as well, and that's going to be that's going to continue to be an emphasis for us and always will be, to have some of the highest graduation rates in the country, and our guys have embraced that. You know, and then just talking to our guys, I've had a great summer. They're excited. You know, this spring, we were able to lay the foundation for what we're trying to do with mentality and culture and offensive, defensive, and special teams philosophies, and our guys have kind of embraced that, and they're excited. You know, this spring, we weren't able to really play at the type of speed that we want to play at because guys were thinking. And I think since then, over the summer, we've been able to really kind of gain some confidence, and guys are looking forward to it. And we just brought a bunch of freshmen in that have joined the program. There's an excitement and there's an enthusiasm about the recruiting class and what they're going to bring to our program. And everybody knows we have some challenges when it comes to depth and things like that, so we're going to be relying on those guys. And then the last thing, kind of the last piece of the puzzle, is excited about all our families being able to come back together. Family's a big part of our program. My wife and kids will be at the facility every single day. The rest of our wives and kids as well will be around. I think that's so important. You know, not only that our players get a chance to see us as coaches and having an influence in their education, but that they also get a chance to see how we are as fathers and husbands and things like that. So my family, we've been apart for 7 months. And really, really excited that, you know, we're kind of on the countdown right now. I got 5 days left, and my wife and kids finally move to State College. And that's pretty much the same with the rest of our coaching staff. So really excited.
Take our first question here. Coach will be stage left.
Hey, Coach. Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Teddy.
What's it like when you're recruiting and getting to know people, when you're the biggest program in the state?
Well, you know, it's been great. I think, you know, it's interesting. My background, I'm from Pennsylvania originally, but I've never coached, you know, in Beaver Stadium. I've never been there as a fan.
But I'm obviously aware, growing up in this state, but then also being able to recruit against Penn State for years, they were always difficult. You know, the history, the traditions, the academic success, the facilities, you know, all those types of things. So, you know, having an opportunity to come back home and be able to sell all the things that we're selling in recruiting, which is number one, to get a world-class education, which is what it's all about. You know, number two, an opportunity to play big-time football. It doesn't get any bigger than the Big Ten. You know, number three, an opportunity to live in a town that's going to be unbelievably supportive of the program. We talk about an opportunity to play in front of 107,000. That's unique. That's special. That differentiates us. And then the last thing is early playing time. You know, right now, you know, we have some challenges and issues that we need to overcome. So, you know, guys are going to have an opportunity to come in and impact the roster quickly. You know, we don't guarantee playing time to anybody. You know, you hear the stories of coaches telling kids that they're going to start as freshmen. We don't do that. You know, guys are going to have to earn it. You know, I think, you know, our football program is designed to, you know, help these kids prepare for life. And they're going to have to earn everything that they're going to do in life. And it's the same thing in our program. But we offer that opportunity.
Our next question is all the way in the back of the room, stage left, Coach.
Adam Chappelle, Rivet News Radio. Coach, how do you prepare your players for what amounts to about a 7.5-hour flight out to Ireland to start the season?
Well, you know, that's an interesting challenge. You know, we're excited. It's a unique deal to open the season against Central Florida, against a really good football coach and a tremendous football coach in George O'Leary and a great program. We're excited about doing that. There's no doubt about it. But there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, we've obviously reached out to programs and organizations that have played in this game in the past. Navy and Notre Dame have been a resource. Our equipment staff have reached out to them, our administrative staff, as well as our trainers and doctors. They've been a really good resource and very appreciative of the help that they've been able to give us. You know, we sent out a team of guys from Penn State, about seven people from the administration, as well as specifically football. And then the other thing is Erica Walsh, our women's soccer coach, has done a great job talking to her. She's been involved in international play. And, you know, making sure that our guys understand and our doctors and trainers and everybody on the same page of not only the flight, but also the time change as well. So we think we got a pretty good plan going into it. We're going to need to be very disciplined. You know, we'll leave Tuesday night. We'll go to class on Tuesday. We'll practice on Tuesday, and we'll leave Tuesday night. And we'll get there on Wednesday. We're going to have to force them to stay up that entire day and try to get, you know, adjusted and acclimated as quickly as we possibly can. But there's no doubt it's a challenge.
We're going to come over here to the right side of the room here and then down front for our next two questions.
Travis Johnson with the Center Daily Times. James,
hey, Travis.
In spring, how much emphasis did you put on kind of developing your roster in terms of the younger players being the depth issues you have with some of the sanctions? And how much more of an emphasis will that be in camp?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be an emphasis for us. It was this spring, you know, trying to get as many looks. And really in the spring, it wasn't really about developing depth. It was about getting to know our roster and giving everybody a chance to compete. And that's how it will be, you know, this fall. You know, guys, some people have seen we released a depth chart. We'll do this every single year. Our depth chart is, you know, we just basically list it out by position, by seniority. Because basically I want the message to our players and everybody involved that you're going to have to come and compete and earn your job every single year and every single day. So, you know, we want to be able to come into camp with those freshmen, give them a legitimate job to compete for a starting position, and if not, have an opportunity to compete for playing time in terms of depth. And that's going to be very, very important to us. You know, creating depth throughout our roster, playing as many guys as we possibly can, and then being able to call the game on offense, defense, and special teams to hide some of our deficiencies as well.
Right down here, Coach.
Hondo Carpenter. Coach, some of your players last week talked about you crying and saying you weren't going to leave Vanderbilt just before you did. And then at Penn State, you talked about better facilities at Vanderbilt than there. I'm curious, were you misquoted or were those comments disingenuous?
Well, this is what I've learned. There's no good way to leave. You know, when you invest so much in a place and you invest so much in people, there's no good way to leave. There's going to be hurt feelings. I've read a lot of different ways the way people leave, and we tried to do it the right way. We stayed, you know, had a team meeting, addressed the team, and said goodbye. But, you know, I hope over time that people look back and realize, you know, how much we cared and how much we invested in that program and in those kids and in that community. That's what I hope.
Next question is to our left here in the middle with Seth.
Coach, Seth Gruen, Chicago Sun-Times.
Hey,
do you think Christian Hackenberg, at least from a talent standpoint, is the best quarterback in the country?
I think Christian's got a lot of tools. There's no doubt about it. The thing I'm probably most impressed is you talk about a kid that started as a true freshman. He's gotten all type of attention. There's been a lot of things that have gone on at Penn State through his recruiting process. Once he arrived on campus, and now being the starting quarterback of Penn State's a big deal. And the thing that I'm most impressed is how humble and how hungry and how open he is to coaching. You know, I think Billy O'Brien and their staff did a really good job of teaching concepts, and that's kind of what we believe is you teach the game from a big picture perspective. They understand concepts. They got a chance to put things together in their head and understand, you know, offenses. So now we come in, and there's a lot of similar philosophies, but he understands concepts of football. But I've been very impressed with him. You know, you're talking about a 6'4", you're talking about a 235-pound guy who can run. I think he's a much better athlete. I think he runs a lot better than people give him credit for. But he's going to have to continue to develop. And part of his development is us being able to surround him with the right type of talent. And that's creating the depth and things like that. So excited about Christian, but really our focus is more about supporting Christian with the pieces of the puzzle around him.
We'll go over to the right side of the room, all the way against the wall, under the light.
Coach Del Yates, WLS Radio, Chicago.
Hey, Del.
With such a young quarterback and being a pocket quarterback, how big of a concern is it right now with your offensive line having so many inexperienced talent from left to right of it?
Yeah, we have some challenges up front. There's no doubt about it. I think we got a great offensive line coach in Herb Hand. I think our offensive coordinator, John Donovan, you know, over the last couple of years has learned how to call a game like we all have to hide some deficiencies or things that you're trying to overcome. I think that's a big part of coaching. You know, very little, you know, there's not too many times as coaches that you're in a position where you can just always call the game when you're trying to attack your opponent. Sometimes you have to spend a lot of time trying to devise game plans to hide some of your deficiencies. And our issue isn't really talent, it's inexperience. And we're gonna have to work on that. That's gonna be very, very important. I think that kind of goes back to my point that I was saying earlier, is I think he moves a lot better than people gave him credit for. He tested extremely well this spring in terms of pro agility, in terms of vertical jump, in terms of broad jump, in terms of 40. And I think that's gonna be important. I think the game of college football has changed. The NFL has changed. People say prototype quarterbacks. What is that anymore? Everybody's looking for an athlete, and I think Christian is one of those guys as well. You know, what we talk about is being able to have functional quickness in the pocket and being able to make people miss. You don't necessarily have to go for 80, but if you can take that negative 6-yard sack and turn it into a plus 6-yard scramble or gain, that's extremely valuable. And I think Christian's going to have the ability to do that, and I think our offensive line is going to develop and end up being a strength for us.
I'm going to stay on that side of the room with Pat.
Hey, James, Pat 40 from Yahoo Sports.
Hey, Pat.
Are there experiences you had getting Vanderbilt up out of the basement at the SEC that you can apply to dealing with scholarship deficiencies and some of the obstacles there at Penn State?
I do think there's some similarities. You know, whenever you take over a program and you're trying to do things, and there may be challenges, for whatever reason the challenges exist in the past, they're there. So I think some of those experiences are going to be helpful. I think, you know, one of the things that we really believe in is by creating depth. You know, everybody looks at your depth chart based on recruiting and things like that, but there's so much more about that. It's about developing the players in the weight room and in the off season with their approach and watching film and spending extra time working on their footwork and things like that. I think that's very important. And then playing guys. You know, a lot of times coaches go into the season and they have plans and they say, we're going to play a bunch of guys, but then they don't really do that. You know, you have to be willing to stick to your plan and play guys. And it may be a tight game, and you have to be willing to pull out your starter and put in a younger guy. And there may be some mistakes, but you're going to grow with that. That will help you in the fourth quarters of games. That will help you in the second half of the season because you're going to be able to stay fresh. You know, one of the real advantages that we have at a place like Penn State, being a large state school, is our walk-on program or our run-on program. You know, that got a lot of press and media attention the last couple of years with Bill. Bill did a great job with that. and we're going to continue to be able to do that. You know, we had a tryout, and I think we had 175 guys show up for it. You know, it's a little bit different. So we've all seen across the country that walk-ons and run-ons have been able to have a big impact, and they're going to need to have that for us as well.
One final question will be in the back of the room on our left, Coach.
Hey, James. Mike Welch at the Ticket.
Hey, Mike.
SEC really doesn't like your satellite camps. They went as far as to use the term competitive disadvantage in taking some camps to the southeast. How would you respond to them?
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting, I'm not really sure why it got all the attention that it did. People have been doing this for a long time. You know, we're a program that believes in studying best practice. Get on the internet every single morning, find out what other people are doing, see if it makes sense for our program. You know, it's our job to do everything in our power within the rules to give Penn State a competitive advantage. And whatever that may be, whether it's recruiting certain parts of the country, whatever it may be, whether it's the satellite camps, we're going to look into all those things. So we're going to study best practice and find what's the best way to allow Penn State to be competitive. And when we talk about being competitive, you know, that's in the Big Ten, but that's also nationally. You know, so we were excited. It gave us an opportunity to get to a part of the country that maybe kids that aren't able to travel to Penn State, we were able to bring Penn State to them. And it was awesome. We had a great experience, enjoyed doing it. The colleges that we worked with were awesome. But the reaction, I can't speak on that. All I can talk about is what we're trying to do at Penn State, which is build a world-class program.
And it's also legal, by the way. Now, if they want to close up the loophole, they can. But it's also legal. Just remember, having 12 teams in a championship game also is a loophole from 22 years ago. That's a loophole. All right, second hour of the show. More intriguing Kevin Hurd tidbits. Do you have tidbits, Kevin?
I'm sure I can make something up.
I mean, like something that's interesting, like not like guys going in circles.
No, I'm good.
Oh, no. Not the answer we were hoping for. He's not the best color guy in the league for nothing. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com.